Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor, often referred to as the Great G Minor Symphony. Well, what makes it so great? That's exactly what conductor, composer, and author Rob Capello is here to tell us. You may remember Capello for his What Makes It Great series, where he unveils, note by note, the hidden majesty within a piece. And Rob joins us now. Rob Capello, you are one of my favorite guests. Welcome back.
Oh, no pressure whatsoever. So great to be here.
I like to keep a high bar on this show.
You're one of my favorite hosts. How's that?
I'll take it. Whether you meet or not, I'll take it. All right. So this piece, very famous. But what do you love about it specifically?
Well, you know, I think this is one of the pieces that I like to pick because everyone knows the beginning. Even if you don't know the title, I mean, let's face it, Symphony No. 40 in G minor is not the world's greatest title. But even if you don't know the title, everyone knows. You know, as a kid, you were told it was, it's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's Mozart, you know, and ruined it for life. But this is an absolutely fantastic piece. Now, I'm going to spend a whole hour on it at Jordan Hall on Sunday, but I'm going to give you a brief précis of what makes this fantastic piece great.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So let's take this beginning. I mean, the beginning is not so great. I mean, this tune, I mean, not that fantastic.
Cell phones have ruined it for me, really.
It's nothing much. I mean, you have it once, you do it again, you do it a third time, then the big news, a leap. Great. So we're going to call this, and I'll now ruin it again for another generation of listeners, do it once, do it twice, and then leap up.
Okay.
So that's our first idea. Do it once, do it twice, and then leap up. Then you got the second half of the idea, which seems like it's totally unrelated. You go down a scale. Three notes down, three notes down, three notes down, down. Okay, sounds totally different, but they actually rhyme. They have the same rhythm. Ba-da-dum, 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 bum.
Uh-huh.
Same rhythm. Same rhythm as...
Two
different groups of people, Palestinians and Israelis, who seem like they have nothing in common, are actually connected by their fundamental humanity, by the rhythm behind them. So that's our idea. Let's get in our ears. That's our idea. Then we do the whole thing lower, so you get it in your ear. Three notes down, three notes down, three notes down. That's our idea. Now, a million things happen to it, but I just want to show you the amazing possibilities that he hears in this in the middle. So we come to the development section. We come to the middle of this thing where the plot thickens and where we find out what this all means. We come to the ending in the first part. Everything's fine. All of a sudden, we travel. Where are we? Oh, no. Huh? What key are we in? At this moment, we think we will never find a key ever again. We're lost. And suddenly, we think, okay, we're here. It's supposed to go, but instead it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, now I saw your eyebrows go up. It's working. The eyebrows go up. All right, so that doesn't work. Then we try it lower. That was a great eyebrow. And it should go, but instead it goes. We are still searching for a place, finding a home, okay? Then magic happens. I don't have time to do it. I'll skip it now. You come to Jordan Hall. You shouldn't miss what happens. I'm going to go to the heart of the thing. Okay, this idea is 8 bars long. Ba-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-2, da-da-3, da-da-da, da-4, da-da-5, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-6, da-da-7, ba-da-dum, ba-da-8. Like Beethoven, he starts looking for the essence of things. Peel away all the inessentials. Let's get to the heart of the story. Mm. Let's get to what the lead is all about. 8 bars get reduced to 4 bars. 4 bars get reduced to 2 bars. 2 bars get reduced to 10 notes. Okay, now our original one was do it once, do it twice, and then leap up. Now we put it into what we would call like its prime form. You reduce it to only 10 notes and just 2 pitches. Just these 2 notes.
Mm-hmm.
10 notes. Once, do it twice, and then no leap. Just do it once, do it twice, and then repeat. This is like the prime form. Okay, violins do it by themselves. Do it once, do it twice, and then repeat. They do it higher. Do it once, do it twice, and then repeat.
Yeah.
The woodwinds reduce it even further. 10 notes is too much. Let's reduce it to just 6 notes. Do it once and then repeat. Do it higher. Do it once and then repeat. They overlap and make a stew out of it, a jambalaya. Higher. Search higher. I mean, you're just dying of tension here, right? Then we come to the climax. I skip, I skip. An amazing moment. Now, question for you, Magda. When I do the opening version...
I really was holding my breath
all right,
there.
Well,
the tension
just,
is intense.
For 1 second, breathe. Now, okay. When I go like this, do I go down to the second note or up?
I feel you want to go up.
I want to, but it goes down the first time. So.
Right. Right.
So we'll call do it once. We'll call it do it down.
Okay.
What do you think the upside down version of do it down would be?
Should be down.
Do it up. Exactly.
Yeah.
The whole universe is now reduced to nothing but either do it down or do it up. The first three notes of the symphony, you hear in the strings, they go do it up, do it down, do it down, do it up, do it up, do it up. Do it up, do it up, do it up. All these different versions are the first three notes of the symphony, either right side up or upside.
Yeah.
But best of all, in the cellos and basses, you have the meaning of life right there. What were the first three notes of the symphony? The first three notes were... That's all they play over and over again. Do it once, do it once. So it's like life is happening up here. Do it up, do it down. The meaning of life is there in the cellos, the first three notes of the symphony, over and over again. And at this great climax where everything is reduced to its pure cosmic essence, then the strings drop out, the woodwinds do nothing but some version of those three notes. They do it either down, do it down, slide it down, do it down, slide it down, do it down, slide it down, do it down. All versions of the first three notes of the symphony until magically we're back at the beginning. You know, there's that great quote from T.S. Eliot, "We shall never cease from exploration, and the goal of all our exploring will be to come back where we started and know the place for the first time. We come back, and after the journey of the piece, we now know the place for the first time."
Fabulous. Absolutely fantastic. Now, Rob, you are walking us through this on your keyboard here, but let's just take a second to listen to an orchestra.
Let's do it with orchestra, and there'll be voiceover from Rob so you don't miss a single item.
All right, go.
This is the opening. Do it once, do it twice, and then leap up. Three notes down, and this is the opening idea.
Yeah.
Let's now skip to that second section where it gets developed. End of first part. We think we know where we are. Transition. Huh? Where are we? Try to find a key, maybe here, okay? Change the end. Do it lower. Change the end again. Third time lower. Now, counterpoint. Four bars long in the bass. Flip the parts up to the violins. Four bars long. Flip it upside down again in the bass. Four bars. Flip one more time. Once, two, three, four. Reduce to just two. One, two. One, two. 10 notes. Once, do it twice, and then repeat. Do it once, do it twice, and then... Now, just violins. Overlap with the six-note version. Do it higher. 10 and 6. Higher. Now, just three. Just three. 6, just 3. Now, here, bass. Do it once. There's the first three notes of the symphony, the cellos and basses. Do it once. Transition, just woodwinds. All versions of the first three notes. And we are back and know the place for the first time. There you go.
Oh, my God.
The mini version of an hour
amazing.
At Jordan Hall. You just got the Reader's
Digest.
Do we still
amazing.
Have Reader's Digest? I don't know. If we do, that was the Reader's Digest version.
I want you to be on my perch on my shoulder every time I listen to any piece of music.
I'll diet immediately just to make sure it's not too much on your shoulder.
The fabulous Rob Kaplow. I can't stand that. That was so amazing. Now, every time I hear a piece by Mozart, the only question I have is, how did he do it? But you just explained how did he do it. But this is a particularly emotional piece.
It is.
What was going on in his life when he wrote it?
You know, it's when you say it's emotional, it's really true. And in fact, one of the things that's so odd about this piece, I mean, in general, classical period symphonies were like happy affairs. They had happy endings. They all ended in major keys. Even Beethoven never wrote a symphony that ended in a minor key. Mm. One of the extraordinary things about this piece is that one of only two symphonies of his 41 that's in a minor key, but this one actually ends in a minor key. It refuses that Beethoven victory of light over dark, triumph. It ends with tragedy, grief, and rage. And it was emotional and intense in a way that no other piece was at that time. You know, people can speculate a lot because there's wonderful mystery surrounding this piece. The truth is, nobody knows anything about it. All that people know is he wrote all three of his final symphonies in the sickeningly brief span of 9 weeks in the summer of 1788. No one knows whether he wrote them for any particular occasion, a particular orchestra.
Didn't one of his children die or something at that time?
There was no real death. It would be lovely to say his kids died and then he wrote sad music. But the thing is, Mozart was capable of writing incredibly happy music when his kids were deathly ill, including himself, and also capable of writing really sad music when things were going well. His circumstances in life were quite bad at this particular point in time, and he was losing money, he was losing popularity, he was no longer the hit Justin Bieber of his day. But you know, it's just an amazing mystery. No one really knows what it was written for or what the circumstances were.
Now, you said one of just two minor symphonies.
Yeah, there's another one called the Little G Minor Symphony because it's worse and it's earlier. But this is the major one. But none of them ending in a minor key was really a repudiation of the whole. I mean, you went to art, in other words, to not think about the horrible issues of the day. Yeah. They all ended in major keys. That's a really important fact. They all had upbeat, happy Disney endings, but not this one. And it refuses. And one of the things that we'll do in that program in Jordan is I'll show you all these major key ideas, but they come back in minor. So it's like you have this brief moment of hope and happiness when you first hear them, but then when they come back, it's all tragedy, grief, and rage. And I think that's one of the great things about Mozart is I often say that it's not about being, it's about becoming. Mm. In other words, when you hear this, it's nothing. We have no idea what it's going to be. It's not what it is when you first hear it. It's what it's going to become over the course of the piece. And that mini journey we took, that's what makes great classical music great. Yeah. Not what the idea is, but the possibilities that we can see hidden in it that no one else would see.
You know, whenever you come and you talk with us and you do your performances in Boston, I always feel like my eyes are being opened to a piece for the first time. How do you do this, Rob? I mean, do you just sit down with a great piece of music and you just like start note by note?
Well, you know, I think what it's really all about, and I often think it's not even about music, it's about paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, it's about learning how to listen. You know, you say your eyes are opening, but I'm also hoping that your ears are opening in the same, although it's a lot easier visual
but
to
see your
eyes.
Metaphorical eyes.
Yeah, but you know, but I do think it's about learning to pay attention. It's all right there in front of us, only we're not used to really listening. Whether it's a piece of great poetry, a piece of great literature, or a piece of great music, you know, my first book is entitled All You Have to Do Is Listen. And I think that that's really true, except listening is anything but all you have to do. It's a really complex process. So for me, I just sit and listen and try to notice what's there, try to hear what the composer is doing, because really, in a sense, all composition is about is listening for possibilities.
Yeah.
You have an idea and you think, what's possible? What could I create out of this? You know, Ezra Pound says, genius is the capacity to see 10 things where the ordinary man sees one.
Mm.
I mean, an ordinary Salieri would not have heard all the possibilities Mozart does. So mostly what I do is I sit and I listen and then try to share what I've listened with all of you and hopefully all the people who come to Jordan Hall.
Well, Rob Capello, conductor, composer, commentator, author, he will be doing just this. He'll be breaking down Mozart Symphony No. 40 in G minor.
With a full orchestra.
And you'll be doing that on Sunday,
Sunday.
As part of the Celebrity Series at Jordan Hall. We've got information about that at our website, radioboston.org. And Rob, thank you so very much.
A pleasure to open your eyes and ears.
And, I mean, let's listen to Mozart as we go out. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.